Trick question I always like to ask people in general. Often say I have a question and it's a trick question. And one of the trick questions I like to ask is, what was Jesus' first miracle? And of course, everyone raises their hand because they learned, especially in their first years of Catholic school, that the first miracle of Jesus is the wedding at Cana, to which I say, very good answer. And it's wrong. It's a trick question. A trick question. Because the wedding at Cana is only found in the Gospel of John, and there are four Gospels, and it happens to be the miracle in which it says, thus did Jesus first reveal his glory. But actually the best answer, any trick question of mine, is what was Jesus' first miracle? And that is, that depends on what Gospel you're reading. In today's Gospel, we hear the first miracle of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. And it's quite different from the first miracle that we hear in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, okay, first miracle, it would seem kind of disappointing, a little more than a card trick, turning water into wine. But in Mark, it would appear a little more dramatic and perhaps a little more profound, and that is the expulsion of a demon. A man possessed who came into the synagogue. But it's the catch in this is that the demon was proclaiming who Jesus is. In other words, this was a moment of revelation. A moment of revelation. And Jesus responded as he responds many times in the Gospel of Mark. And this is the first of those many times he responds in this way, and that is, be quiet. Miracle after miracle, Jesus is telling people, don't tell anyone what you have seen. The only one who does what he tells him is the demon in the first miracle. In the other miracles, at one point it says, the more he told them not to, the more they did. Ergo, my philosophy, the best way to get Catholics to do something is for the priest to tell them not to do it. But it's an important dynamic that we see here because the demon is declaring Jesus to be the Son of God, the Holy One of God. And Jesus tells him to be silent and come out of the man. In other words, Jesus is there to reveal his heavenly Father. Jesus is there to perform a mission. Jesus is there to teach the people about the kingdom. But Jesus does it on his terms, not on the unclean spirit's terms. And in the other points in the Gospel of Mark, when we see, for example, the leper, who Jesus cures and tells him, don't tell anyone, and he goes and tells everyone, that is not a help, but rather it's a hindrance to Jesus. He couldn't go into the towns because they wanted to make him king. When he finally asks the apostles at another point in Mark's gospel, who do people say that I am? You notice none of them are the correct answers. Some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. None of them is the correct answer. But to the people who followed Jesus, listened to him, he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Holy One of God. In obedience to Jesus, they came to an understanding that no one else had who was doing all the talking on their terms. And we see in today's gospel something very profound example of whose terms in which this revelation is going to take place. The unclean spirit's terms, who seeks to thwart Jesus, or Jesus' own terms, who wants us to truly understand his mission and his role as Messiah, to truly understand his teachings, so that it can be communicated effectively to all those that the apostles would eventually go to reveal that good news. And we come here on Catholic School Sunday to celebrate primarily Catholic schools and Catholic education, but in effect we are celebrating Catholic education. Catechism, teaching the gospel, teaching the word of Jesus as Jesus would have us teach it, not just as a subject in a curriculum, but as a way of life, a way in which we conduct our entire education of our children, how the children relate to each other, how the teachers relate to the children and the children relate to the teachers, how they relate to visitors who come to our school, how they apply that faith in everything that they do, not just in class for homework and for a test, and in a way in which they carry it on at home that is carried on and enforced by the parents who are the primary teachers of our children. And while we celebrate Catholic education in Catholic schools, we also remember that education doesn't just end with the schools, but it's an ongoing thing that hopefully has its foundations in our schools, but continues even into high school, even into adulthood, so that truly grounded Catholic people can teach that faith to their children and on to the next generation. Not as we would have it, but on Christ's terms, in Christ's words, Christ's teachings that has been passed on from generation to generation. And on this particular day, we celebrate Catholic schools, which is a legacy of this country especially, the Catholic Church in this country that we could all truly be proud of. The Catholic schools in this country are the best in the world. And that's saying a lot. It doesn't mean that the public schools are bad. I mean, some systems are better than others, but consistently, Catholic education has outscored and demonstrated itself to be a superior education, one that was started by dedicated religious sisters and brothers in Catholic parishes, and in many places, especially in Catholic high schools, is continued by these religious communities. Some of our graduates here go on to Catholic high schools. But also now, dedicated lay men and women, because of the terrible shortage of religious sisters and brothers, dedicated lay men and women who come to teach, not only as a vocation as teachers, but as Catholic school teachers who wish to impart that Catholic faith as teachers to our students. But as I said before, it doesn't end there. We here at St. Bruno's have a number of opportunities for education. In addition to our CCD for the children, we have the university series that we just kicked off, at least the advertisement for, last week. We'll be hearing a little bit about it later. We have a new young adult education program that we'll also be hearing about after communion. But the foundation must be given to our children. First and foremost, in the home, carried on in an academic setting that's so much more than just a subject with homework and tests, but a whole way of life in which we learn that faith, your children learn that faith, not on anyone else's terms, but Christ's. To anyone else's terms, it might be simply just a subject with homework and tests, just something we do on Sundays or when we send our children to school. But on Christ's terms, this is more than just a subject. This is our life. This is our hope. This is what makes us who we are. And in and through that, we affect the society around us by how we live, the values we profess, the unique way in which we see the gift of human life, the elevated divine way in which we see the gift of holy matrimony, the way in which we look at all people, no matter what their status or station or income or class, a way that truly stands out in an increasingly secular, progressive society. And we are to truly thank God for the great legacy that our church has in this country, in the Catholic school system. But even there, it's not enough. As you perhaps have heard me say before, it could be the best Catholic school in the world. If they don't get it at home, it's the worst Catholic school in the world. Or it could be the worst Catholic school in the world. If they do get it at home, it's the best. It's a partnership between the families who send their children and entrust their education to the church. We thank and congratulate the parents for your hard work in bringing up another generation of faithful Catholic men and women. And we congratulate those who work hard in the Catholic school system, who compartmentalize it not as a subject, but a faith that is a way of life and encompasses everything we do as people. And with our mutual cooperation, we will ensure that a tradition of 2,000 years and passing on the faith from one generation to the next will not end with our generation. But with all that work on Christ's terms, giving the teachings that Christ gave us, passing it on to your children, we will ensure the survival, the substance, and the true living of that faith now and for generations to come.